talking to us about lead environmental hazards and risk factors. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. How's that? Can everyone hear me fine? So, all right.
Height adjustable.
Height adjustable, right. Great technology. So my story this morning is going to begin with an action by our state legislature in which they decided in their infinite wisdom that they would change the definition of lead poisoning to link it to the new CDC reference level for blood lead. And in 2012, CDC established a new blood lead reference value, which was to be the 97.5 percentile blood lead level in a random sample of children ages 1 to 5 coming out of the NHANES data. And in 2012, that number was 5 microgram per deciliter. CDC is supposed to reevaluate it every 4 years, so that means in 2016, we should have evaluated it, but that's a topic for another talk. So for now, the number is 5, which means the bottom line is lead poisoning by statute in Maine is currently defined as 5 microgram per deciliter. And what that means is the way our statute, the Lead Poisoning Control Act in Maine, works is every time we identify a child as lead poisoned, we must, by law, inspect not only the unit where that child has been identified, but every other unit in that multifamily dwelling. So it's primarily rental for owner-occupied. We can do technical assistance. And when we inspect, we look for lead paint hazards using XRF for presence of lead paint, as well as visual determination of whether it's in poor condition, lead dust testing in a number of surfaces, windowsills, troughs, floors, outside areas, first draw water testing, and soil in perimeters and in play areas. And then the whole issue is whether we find hazards, and then if we find hazards, do we have to do issue an abatement order or not? And we used to do this for blood lead levels of 15 and a higher and a persistent 10 and 14. If you look across the country, you'll find states doing it at 20 and above as the threshold, 15 and above as a threshold, and 10 and above. So we thought it would be useful if we shared what we were finding for these lower blood lead levels as people consider doing whether to act on these lower blood levels, and that's what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes here. So what we did for this talk is we extracted the results from our inspections from our case management system. We just began doing this in September 2016, so this is all new for us. And I pulled between September and April. They gave us about 200 inspection reports, so not a big number, but we're obviously going to keep adding to this. You can see about 156 of those were at the lower blood lead levels of 5 to 9. And 47, 10 and above. That gives you a sense of our increased workload. But that is not the full story because this is only about the units where the child was poisoned, not all the additional units we're doing in multifamily dwellings. So actually our workload is increased a lot more than that. So now what I'm going to go through is a series of slides where I will just give you a sense of what we're seeing for 5 to 9, versus 10 at various sort of levels to give you a feel. So the first question we would all ask is, well, do we find hazards when we go into 5 to 9s or not? And are we, because it's a big investment of resources to go into here. So that's the first level question. And we don't seem to see any difference between 5 to 9s and what we're seeing at 10 and above. So that's huge. So it's a good thing that you can argue we're investing these resources because we're finding plenty of reasons to issue abatement orders and have these addressed by landlords, etc. So now let's do the next cut and say, well, now let's look for those that have hazards. Let's look at them by whether they're paint hazards, dust hazards, or both. And we start to see some differences between the lower levels and the higher levels, perhaps what you would expect. Higher blood levels, more likely to have both dust and paint hazards, more likely to have paint-only hazards. For the lower levels, more likely to have dust-only hazards. And then this other category of no paint, no dust, that we'll be looking at more over the summer. We think a bunch of that is going to be, there's dust, it's just not dust high enough to meet the current EPA thresholds we're using to say it's a problem, we must issue an abatement order. And for those that work in this area, you'll know that HUD came out with lower dust levels that they're recommending to use for abatements than under the lead hazard control grant. So we suspect that's a good chunk of what we'll find there, and we'll be looking at that over the summer. Next, if we just look at dust levels, are we seeing any difference there? Not for floor, but some suggestion that the window-related hazards, sill and troughs, are a little bit more common for the higher blood levels than what we see for these lower blood levels, and perhaps that's not a surprise. And then last, if you just look at it from sort of other characteristics point of view, rental, yes, no. Age of housing, I'm showing here mostly the pre-1950, of which there is a lot of in Maine. Whether there's any recent reported or evidence of renovation-related activity, and whether their children are on MaineCare, which is Maine's Medicaid program. And the only thing really of note here is, perhaps, again, not surprising, higher blood levels are associated with renovation activity more so than the lower blood lead levels. A surprise, we'll see if this holds up as we get more data. We actually thought it would be the other way around, that at the lower blood levels we would see more of a mixed population. Doesn't look that way, but again, these aren't big numbers, so I consider that preliminary, and we'll see how it shakes out over the coming years and months as we look at this. So, bottom line, 5 to 9s don't look all that different to us at the sort of 100,000 foot level than the 10 to the 14s or 10 and above's rather. So, and that is what, when we contacted our colleagues at Marion County, there's not a lot of places doing 5 and above, but they were, and they said you can expect to find the same thing you're finding 10 and above, and sure enough, that is more or less what we're seeing. But we do see some interesting differences. This dust-only hazards, which we need to think about what that means for issuing abatement orders, and less likely to be associated with renovation. And then we're going to look at this more over the summer. We want to bring in the soil and water data. We haven't done that yet. Get that linked in. We want to use actual dust levels rather than this yes, no, they're above the thresholds for abatement, especially around the new HUD dust levels versus the US EPA. And eventually, once we get more data, break it into categories of blood lead levels, because some of our colleagues in other states take action at these, and it'll be helpful for them if we split it up. That's it. Thank you.